Good Sunday morning, and thank you for joining the radio worship of the Third Presbyterian Church. We're in the Enos Park neighborhood of Springfield, Illinois. Today's the first Sunday in October. It's the third. Today's also the day that many churches celebrate World Communion Sunday. It's a way to remember what Jesus did for us and a way to unite the over 2.3 billion Christians in the world, including all of us here today. We will celebrate communion at our regular in-person worship beginning today at 10 a.m. Helen Ealy brings our worship into the beginning with our prelude, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Please now pray with me. On this day of devotion and worship to you, O God of all, gather us from various places so that we may be filled with your Spirit and join together with one another in this worship. Today we join our brothers and sisters in the world in worship on this World Communion Sunday. Bless each one of us and open us to receive your presence as we worship you. Amen. We continue in this worship with a song written by contemporary Christian songwriter and performer Steve Fry. The song speaks about the glory of God and how in worship we should glorify Him. Listen to the TPC praise team as they bring us, Oh, the Glory of Your Presence. We have been blessed to have our chancel choir back with us for more than a month now, and this morning they bring us a variation of a hymn written by John Samas, who was a Presbyterian minister, and Daniel P. Towner, the music director at the Moody Bible Institute. The song was written in 1887 entitled Trust and Obey. Thank you. We turn this morning to the Old Testament book of Job, chapter 2, verses 3 through 10, as we reflect on the difficulties in Job's life, which really reflect on some of the difficulties we have. Please listen to these words of God. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him for without any reason." "Skin for skin," Satan replied. "A man will give all he has for his own life. But now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to the face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well, then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores, from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself, and he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. May God send his blessings on the reading of this, his words, for this day. Amen. Lenny LeBlanc is another contemporary music songwriter and performer, and he's in his middle 60s, and he's still active in the ministry and in his work. Today we feature Dawn Hollis from our praise team leading us in one of his songs titled, "Come and See."
Come and see the glory of the Lord. Come behold the Lamb. Come and see the mercy of the King, bowing down before Him. Come. Alleluia.
Will you now pray with me? Lord, let now the words which come from my mouth and the meditation that falls on all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, and remind us today that you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. After earning my Eagle Scout Award, my parents paid for me to go on a scouting tour group to see Germany, Austria, Switzerland, and a small part of France. We spent a lot of time in the mountainous regions of that area known as the Alps. In what's called the French Alps, there's a mountain called Mont Blanc. It's the name Blanc, which in French means white, because it's covered year-round in snow. Now, one of the peaks of that mountain is called Fool's Needle. It rises over 11,000 feet and it has sharp edges. Only the most experienced climbers ever attempt to summit that peak. Several years ago, a student attempted to scale the peak, but as he did, he slipped and began to fall. Fortunately, there was a ledge he caught himself on, and then he simply hung on for dear life. It was not until 3 days later that he was found by searchers. His hands and feet were severely frostbitten. As he was recovering in the hospital, he told people that the entire time that he was on that ledge, on the edge of falling to a certain death, he kept telling himself that he just had to hold on. He had to hold on no matter what. He just had to hold on. It appears to me that often when the world sends us into difficult and dangerous times, perhaps some of the best advice is for us to just hold on. And in the Bible, there's no other person or story about needing to hold on than the book and the person named Job. Job's life was suddenly sent from prosperity and joy to crashing down with calamity after calamity. I once heard a great sermon on Job, and the pastor made the point that when you read his story, there is at least one of the calamities he faced that we have all faced a time or two. And that's why the story of Job is so important for each one of us. We have at times been in this story, in his shoes. The story begins by telling us of this man named Job from a place called Uz. We are told four things about him. He was blameless and upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. Job was an ordinary guy living an extraordinary life of faith. Then, of course, that fallen angel Satan throws down the gauntlet and brags to God that even such a great person as Job can be broken to the point of cursing God. But God knew Job would be up to the task. In the same way, a man named Jesus came to earth, blameless and upright, in the fear of God and a shunner of evil. And he went through many challenges and was even beaten and crucified. And through it all, he held on to his faith, something God knew he could do also. As I mentioned before, all of us have had one or another of the catastrophes experienced by Job, and perhaps what we need to do is think through these challenges, as Job did, and see what just is happening in that moment to us. Today, I want to look at three axioms about what I consider ways to hang on. I think that's what Job did in this story. Job hung on. And I think we can learn from Job to hang on in those difficult moments in our lives. First, holding on requires we simply take one day at a time. I'm convinced that humans have this tendency of jumping to the end of the story after they've come in right at the beginning. In fact, I had a supervisor one time who never wanted to hear the story. They just wanted to know the end. So one time we had a major computer problem, and when I called them to explain what was happening, they just said, skip to the end. And so at that point, I simply shared with them that the disk had crashed and we lost data. They suddenly became mad at me for allowing the disk to crash and told me to immediately put on a new disk and try it again. And it also crashed. You see, if they would have listened to me, if they would have listened to the whole story, they would have known that we were having a mechanical problem with the disk drive, and we needed to get it repaired and fixed before we went on. Job is operating in the unknown. He does not know how long or how intense the challenges he faces will be, but they will be each day. And isn't that just like the challenges we face? We never know for sure how long or how much. We just must look at it one day at a time. We have to look at things one day at a time, because when we do that, we're opening up the opportunity for God's grace to be present in us. When we try to think beyond the day and worry about tomorrow, then grace is overshadowed by worry. Well, Jesus had something to say about worry. In Matthew chapter 6, he talks about that. He brings in the fact that birds don't seem to care or worry about their next meal. They just know God will provide. One could argue that birds are living one day at a time because they simply trust that the next day things will be provided. That's a pretty simple concept. And yet we humans often struggle with simplicity because we love complicated stuff. When we're experiencing those Job moments in our lives, one way to hang on is to take each day, one day at a time, and trust God will be present before us during and after the challenge. A second axiom to remember when we face those Job moments is that we are loved by God. In October of 2019, Staff Sergeant Philip Gray knew he was going to be deployed to Afghanistan for a long time. He wanted his 7-year-old daughter to be able to handle him being gone, so he wrote 270 notes with instructions to give her one note each morning while he was gone. The notes were gentle reminders of his love, and they also contained words of encouragement. He wanted her to be reminded every day of his love for her, and that is exactly what they did. And when he returned, just 2 days shy of her 8th birthday, he was able to tell her in person that he loved her. She never forgot that because she was reminded every day. The Bible often reminds us that we're God's children and we're loved by God because God is the essence of love. There was a developmental psychologist by the name of Erik Erikson who studied the impact of love on human development. He was able to measure several aspects of children who grew up in a very loving and supporting environment and those who did not. He concluded that, without a doubt, those raised in a loving and supporting environment developed better physically and mentally. They performed better on a variety of tests, they had more successful occupations, and they were, for the most part, very well adjusted. The ones who did not had many struggles and a general feeling of insecurity and low self-esteem. People need love, and when we're experiencing those Job moments in our lives, one way to hang on is to keep being reminded just how much God loves us. The third and final axiom is to learn when to let go. There's a story of a young girl who was visiting her aunt, and before leaving the room for a moment, her aunt had given her a rare coin to look at. Now, being a young, playful girl, she began flipping the coin up in the air. Of course, each time she flipped it higher and higher, until one time the flip was off a bit and the coin fell right into a beautiful vase that was on the end of one of the tables. The girl panicked. She immediately stuck her hand in the vase to attempt to grab the coin. Now, she was able to get the coin, but in order to pull it out, she had to hold on to it by making a fist. And when she did that, her hand was now too big to come out of the vase. The only way to get her hand out was to drop the coin. Shortly after that, her aunt came back into the room. She immediately saw what was going on and listened to the niece's tearful and apologetic explanation. The aunt told her to just do one thing, let go of the coin. The niece questioned how she could get the coin out, and the aunt reassured her that she had a plan. Finally, after a lot of coaxing, the girl just let go and pulled out her hand. The aunt proceeded to take the vase, tip it upside down, so the coin would just fall out. We are often faced in the dilemmas of life's choices. Sometimes the best answer for us is to just let go, especially when we are trusting God for a plan, when we're trusting God to provide. We're trusting God that a plan will come from above, beyond that which we can rationalize at that moment. I know it sounds a bit conflicted to suggest that one way to hang on is by letting go, but that's exactly what we need to do. We need to let go of the condition we find ourselves in now and look for ways God will see us through and provide us with ways to go forward. When we experience a Job moment, perhaps we should be like Job and just let go. Job did not have the advantage that we have of knowing God's love in the coming and work of Jesus, our Savior. Job was operating on his wisdom and knowledge of God from his understanding of the Old Testament writings and the prophets. We have a living Savior who taught us and died for us and rose again for us so that we do not have to have the strength to face those tasks alone. We can hang on because we have a living Savior walking with us to help us hold on while we're simply hanging on. My prayer today is for all of us to hang on, all of us to live one day at a time, to live knowing we live in the love of God, and to simply go, let go of those things we cannot control. Reinhold Niebuhr was a great American theologian who in 1932 wrote a prayer that became very popular because of its honesty about life. The prayer goes like this: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Of course, that's the very popular Serenity Prayer, and it's used as a prayer by many of those who participate in addiction group programs, but I think it's also good theology about how we just sometimes need to let go. Let go of the things we cannot control. Job did that, and in doing so, we will have the wisdom to hang on and challenge the things that we can change. May God bless you on this day, and may you hang on. Amen and amen. Thank you for joining us this day as we bring you this worship each Sunday from 9 until 9:30 on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 FM. I want to mention to you that today is the Crop Walk, which is our worldwide program designed to end hunger throughout every country. Several churches in our area will be participating and will begin the two-mile walk from our church at 1030 North 10th Street today. Registration is at 1 o'clock and the walk commences at 1:30. We need walkers and sponsors and both for today. If you are moved by the Spirit to help in this way, you could also just send us a contribution. Send it to the church office, mark that it's for the Crop Walk, and we'll include it in our check that we send to the Crop Walk organization. This morning, I'd like to lead us in a special prayer for this World Communion Sunday, because today we join with our brothers and sisters in the world who claim Jesus as Lord and Savior. Many live in conditions and countries where it's difficult for people to practice our Christian faith. Let's remember them as well in our prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, you are the creator and sustainer of all the universe, including the world in which all of us, your children, live. Some of us are blessed to live in warm homes with loving families where all our needs are met, while others live in places with hardly any roof and dirt floors. Some of your children live in the most difficult of places, but we are all your children. And those of us who have been given much should make ourselves and our resources available to those who have not been given as much. So on this World Communion Sunday, as we share in the broken body and the shed blood that unites all of us as one in Jesus our Lord and Savior, may you shower upon us on this earth the fullness of your blessings. Remind all who struggle, whether here in our area or in the farthest places of the earth, that you are the source of peace and promise for all humanity, and may we as Christians in this place work with Christians in all places to continue to spread the good news of salvation in Jesus. May this be our prayer for us and for the world. Amen. Sherry Keegi often leads workshops challenging busy Christians to pause for a moment and take in the joy there is in having Jesus in our lives. So we end this service today with a praise song leading us in one of her songs titled, There is Joy in the Lord.
There is joy in the Lord. There is love in His Spirit. There is hope in the knowledge of Him. There's a fountain that flows like a river from heaven. overflows to the Lord. All blessing and honor are His. All glory and power are His. Let all wisdom and strength be the Lord's in this place. Let all glory be given to Him. There is joy in the Lord. There is love in His Spirit. There is hope in the knowledge of Him. There's a fountain that flows like a river from heaven, abounding in love to my soul.
Thank you for worshiping with us this day. A big thank you to Helen Ely on the organ and piano, to Jeff Prince, our music director, to the TPC Praise Team and choir. Thanks to our always ready to work AV crew led by Seth Hood. And let's not forget the work of Matt Miller, who stays locked indoors so he can do all of our post-production work and make us all sound good. I'm the Reverend Dr. John Shear, the pastor at TPC. Have a blessed week, and please remember to, say it with me, stay safe out there.